It's time now for Radio Vermont's News and Public Affairs Program, Open Mic with Hester Fuller. The phone lines to speak with Hester are open, 802-244-1777 and toll-free 1-877-291-8255. And now here's your host, Hester Fuller.
Thank you very much, John, and good morning, everybody out there. It is Monday morning, and as we often do on Monday, we like to take your pulse. We like to find out what's on your mind today. Open mic on WDEV. It's an open mic, open mic. Give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking about. 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. Lots in the news to talk about. Our president is in Cuba. You think that's a good idea? You think we should have waited? What do you think? We have news this morning that one of the persons of interest in the Paris attacks last November has been captured alive in Belgium. And interestingly enough, he was picked up just before a French security report on those attacks appeared in the New York Times. So he hasn't had a chance to see what it is the authorities have on the folks behind those egregious attacks last November. And as I understand it, they are using the reports in the New York Times to sort of check the validity of the information they're getting out of this guy that they just picked up, Saleh Abdeslam of, I guess he's of Belgium. That's where they picked him up. We have primaries coming up. That race seems to go on and on. I guess it will go on and on for some months to come. But tomorrow, what do we have tomorrow? Arizona. And the caucuses in Idaho are on Tuesday this week, the primary in Utah, and that all-important swing territory, American Samoa, kicks in tomorrow as well. I'm not sure how many delegates that they'll be sending, or if you have to split somebody or how that's going to work, but I'd love to know. That's not all this week. Three more caucuses coming up on Saturday this week, so they'll be hopping from those states and territories up to Alaska, out to Hawaii, and back down to Washington for Saturday's contests. A busy primary week on the election front. What have you been paying attention to in the news this past week? How was your weekend? Do you have thoughts about our president being in Cuba? Was this a good idea? Oh, we do have a caller, someone who always has a thought or two. Rama down in Williamstown, how are you this morning?
Doing good, Heather. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, listen, I want to go back a week.
Okay.
And a comment that was made last week by a caller that had an implication in kind of a historical misunderstanding in it, in that he was, because you had myself who was comparing Donald Trump to Mussolini, you had another caller that was comparing Trump to Hitler, and then you had a third caller, well, you had more than that, but another caller who said, boy, you know, isn't it kind of strange that these people are comparing Trump to Hitler or Mussolini, but not Stalin or Mao, as in Mao Zedong?
I remember that call.
Yes, I do. So, first off, to deal with the not totally unveiled insinuation that those who don't support Trump or Republican right-wing politics would support the likes of Stalin or Mao. I mean, that's utter unmitigated, irradiated waste product. They're, you know, it's an absolutely insane thing to say.
Duly noted.
Well, as far as the reason for comparing Trump to somebody like a Mussolini, and even in defense of the caller who did the comparison to Hitler, is both Hitler and Mussolini came to power in countries that had democratically based institutions in them. Mao Zedong and Joseph Stalin did not come to power in places where there were democratically based institutions.
So you're saying that the distinction that's really worth noting is the context in which these characters arose.
Well, that's not context. That's foundation. You know, so that's foundational, and that's why you look out for people like a Donald Trump, is because they can come to power in specifically because of the democratic institutions that can raise people up from the bottom.
Well, I think that we certainly have heard it from the days of the founding fathers onward that a democracy gets the leaders it deserves in some ways.
Well, I think we all deserve better than Trump, even if there's a fair number of people that don't understand it. That's fine. But they even the folks that would vote for Trump deserve better. So, you know, I think we get the leaders that we allow to come into place. And so there is that huge distinction. And I would like to point out, too, that, you know, it was Ronald Reagan who said that he could work with Pol Pot of the Khmer Rouge back in Cambodia and back in the 1980s. And if people don't remember, you go back and read about Pol Pot, percentage of nation's population that got murdered by the government, Pol Pot probably rates as number one on a percentage basis. Not a raw numbers basis, but a percentage basis.
He was pretty horrendous.
Yeah, hey, well, depending on the numbers, it's anywhere from 10 to 20% of mm-hmm. Cambodia's population was murdered during the reign of the Khmer Rouge.
So help me connect the dots there. What's the connection you're drawing between Ronald Reagan saying he could work with a guy like that?
Well, you know, it's something about Republicans. I don't know. Is Republicans like authoritarianism much more than Democrats?
Well, you know, now that's a really interesting notion, that a society at various points in its history seems to crave authority figures in some way, and at other times it's just not on. Any thoughts about that?
There is always, you will find, we're what, 300 plus million people now mm-hmm. in the United States, 320, I forget what the exact figure is, it doesn't really matter, I'm close. You're going to find a large group of people that do like authoritarian governance. They just happen to think that's the way to go, because especially the authoritarian government is going to protect them at the expense of others.
But sometimes those authoritarian figures rise to the level of being actually elected because a substantial number of people feel the need, and sometimes they don't.
You know, that could go down to a deep rabbit hole of why public perception ends up as it is.
Well, that's actually kind of where I was going with this.
But that's a very deep, deep rabbit hole with all mm-hmm. sorts of tunnels connecting to
different
areas.
Well, what do you think, though?
But, well, I say that, listen, let's start with the press and manufactured consent. The press in the United States, the so-called news, has never been some impartial agent simply reporting on the facts. Never in the history of this country has it ever been that. And I will take you back to probably the real father of the modern-day press, which is Benjamin Franklin, who used to write letters under a pseudonym to his own newspapers to attack his opponents. That is now that you know, it's no different from what goes on now, whether you're the New York Times heavily editing a pro-Bernie article to turn it into a negative one, you're Fox News that builds up a Donald Trump only to have to turn around and try to tear it down, CNN or MSNBC Trump. No, MSNBC seems to be, and I don't even stop listening to these stations mm-hmm. very long. I just kind of channel flip to see what their discussions are. MSNBC is just like turning into...
Okay, but let's say we give you that point.
Let's go on with the Washington... I mean, you can even step back a little over 100 years now, right, to the Spanish-American War. Basically, supposedly started with the attack on the Maine in Havana Harbor, and that was really a drumbeat to war that was drummed up by the Hearst newspapers mm-hmm. in the country, and they're the ones that were screaming these headlines, remember the Maine.
So let me see if I'm connecting the dots up correctly here. Sounds clear that you really feel the press has a lot to answer for the condition that we find ourselves in today. Is that fair?
Among others, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's what builds up the public perception, and mm-hmm. it's also what we accept as our sources of information, and what we're willing to believe from our media, and what we're willing to let our media feed us.
Well, now you're a step ahead of me, because that was my next question to you. Even if we grant you that, and I'm not sure I completely agree, but for the sake of argument, let's grant you this notion that there's this force out there that is nowhere near as disingenuous as perhaps our ideals suggest to us it might be. What is our personal responsibility in the face of that kind of information?
You know, that's a question that just has to have a vague answer, because first of all, you can't know what to look for if you don't know that you need to look further than what you're getting.
You're right.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're born and raised, and let's use the word ignorant, and I don't mean that as a pejorative, I just mean that as in lacking a specific set of knowledge. So if you're ignorant of the fact that there are other stories, for instance, if you're ignorant of the fact that there's a Bernie Sanders running out there and out in Washington getting crowds of 5,000 and 10,000 people today, or yesterday, rather, today being Sunday, and you would look to the news to report on that fact, probably if you weren't reading local newspapers out in Washington State, you wouldn't be aware of that.
But in this day of the Internet, doesn't it put all kinds of things, including the candidate's own mouthpiece, just as nearby?
That helps, and that is also part of the answer, and it's also part of why somebody like Bernie Sanders can still be getting 5,000 and 10,000 people showing up at his rally.
I would think so.
But if you don't know that you can go to Bernie Sanders, I don't want to hawk Bernie. I really don't. I'm a Bernie supporter, but I'm just using this as an example.
No, it's a good example.
If you don't know to go to the website, to the correct website, and look for the information, you don't know to do it, plain and simple. So if you have somebody who's solely been exposed to a very limited source of information, you don't really know what to look for outside of what you've been exposed to.
I hear you. You know what? Let's see how that bumblebee flies with our other listeners. We have another caller on the line, and I thank you, Rama, so much for calling in, and I hope you will be calling in again next week. Jean from Barrie, it's your turn.
Oh, hello, good morning.
Good morning.
Your John McClurry, you know, is on every morning.
Yes.
I heard. Did you hear him this
morning? I didn't hear him this morning. I was getting gasoline.
well, he come on, and I'm pretty sure he's a Republican, but he come on and called Trump. We know he's not for Trump, but he called him an atheist something, and I can't remember the other word.
Oh, I didn't hear it, but I bet it was colorful.
Oh, my gosh, and it struck me kind of funny, but Trump has said, too, if he doesn't get the nomination, there would be an awful riot. Well, that sounds to me like he's planning to have the riot. It wouldn't be the Democrats.
Well, I agree with you there. I think he's made a lot of those remarks, don't you?
That
are a little bit
shading into. Seems though that doesn't help him either. You know, he comes out with these different things. He's just hurting himself.
Well, you know, the other thing that I've heard him start to say recently, and I wonder if we're going to be hearing more of this, is that there are actually a couple of Donald Trumps, and we've seen this big blustering person.
Oh, yeah.
But that, in fact, he knows how to negotiate a deal, and we're going to start seeing a different Donald Trump.
Oh yeah, he'll kind of soften up now, you know. What they call soften up.
Yeah,
you know,
what do you think, though?
Well, I'm in my 80s, and I've never seen anything like this of president, you know, campaign and stuff going on.
It's pretty astonishing, I think.
Oh, it's awful.
It wasn't in my civics textbook.
Well, you have a great day.
Okay, well, Gene, thank you so much for giving us a call, and I hope you call again.
Oh, thank you.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
You are tuned to WDEV, and we need to stop and do a little bit of business this morning on Open Mic. We'll be right back after these. Good morning and welcome back. You are tuned to WDEV's Open Mic program. Hester Fuller is my name, and I am with you until 11 o'clock this morning. And this is your time. We want to hear what's on your mind this morning. We started out talking a bit about the elections, had a couple of really thought-provoking phone calls in. Rama from Williamstown, who often phones into this program, was pointing out to us that it's not new that we have a biased media presentation of our candidates. And one thing we might be concerned about is that folks who don't already know where to look for other sources of information aren't exactly going to be told by what's actually coming out of the speakers on their various sounding devices. Jean from Barrie, who's been looking at elections for some 80 years, says she's never seen anything like this one. And also pointed us toward John McClowery's column this morning on WDEV, which I did not catch. I was pumping gas into my automocombustible at the time, but apparently he had some colorful language for the current circumstance as well. If you have something you'd like to pitch into this conversation, give us a call, would you? 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. If you've had it with the elections, for the time being, we don't have to go on with that one. We can pick up some other interesting things that are in the news. For example, I noticed that the long-awaited hearings in the Vermont State House are set for a week from Thursday on that marijuana bill that passed the Senate Bill 241. There will be hearings a week from Thursday night down in the House chamber in Montpelier between 5 and 7 in the evening. Do you have thoughts about that bill? And as far as it's gotten, do you have thoughts about the general principle of decriminalizing or legalizing small amounts of weed? Give us a call. 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. What's on your mind this morning? First day of spring? You got your garden in the works? You've been planting things? Have you been put any seedlings down in little paper cups or eggshells or whatever it is you do? Getting ready to go with this stuff? I can't wait. I just can't wait. I have seen snowdrops in my neighbor's yard. I hope they have survived the last couple of chilly nights. My chickens are all fine. They're still pretty fluffed out. They're sitting on their perches, just fluffed up with great pantaloons on to stay warm in this chilly weather. How about the critters at your place? How are they doing with this kind of crazy up and down weather we're having? Chilly here, snowy south of here, where they don't have any hills to ski on, but they're getting plenty of snow to pack on there. Give us a call here. This is Open Mic here on WDEV, 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255 is our toll-free number. Hester Fuller is my name. I'll be with you until 11 o'clock this morning. And at that time, of course, we have Bill Sayre coming on in with Common Sense Radio, brought to you every weekday morning from 11 o'clock to 12 o'clock by the Ethan Allen Institute. I don't have the promo sheet yet for the shows this week. It usually comes in about halfway through my program. So we will know what's coming pretty soon, I would imagine. And we'll let you know. We'll pass on Bill's weekly plan for this week. Usually in this chair, of course, it's Mike Smith, and he has an array of topics of current interest and wonderful guests for you to talk to and listen to. He'll be back in this chair again tomorrow. And if you miss one of these shows and you'd kind of like to hear it, or you heard an interesting comment from someone and you want to listen to it again because you'd like to maybe respond to it at a later time, you can always find our podcast. And you'll find that at radiovermont.com. You just follow the signs down to the open mic part of the website, and you'll see links to an archival collection of the open mic programs that have been on the air recently. Bob from Warren, you're on the air on open mic.
Hey, open mic.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm good. How are you today?
I'm good. I know people love to talk about Donald Trump. I know they do. He's not going to be the next president. It's not going to happen.
You don't think so?
Oh, not a chance.
Okay.
What I get upset about is, you know, Bernie literally had tens of thousands of people at all of his rallies the past 5 days. Tens of thousands. No one, you haven't heard it. People, 20,000 came out in Seattle in the pouring rain and waited hours to get into the arena. We don't hear anything about that.
It is frustrating.
Nobody. Hillary doesn't get that many people. Nobody gets that many. Trump doesn't even get that many people anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just written Bernie off. It drives me crazy. He's a hometown boy. I mean, you know, maybe from Brooklyn, but a hometown boy. And I really wish you'd, you know, give like a little update on Bernie every time you come on. Because, you know, unless he says something derogatory, which he said at the beginning, he's not going to do, you know, nobody will cover him.
It's really exasperating. Let me ask you a question, Bob. When you're looking for Bernie news, where do you tune? What can we give direction to folks about where they can follow?
US Uncut. That's a great
US website. Uncut, okay.
USUncut.com. Right.
Okay.
Right. And, you know, they had, you know, then there's piddly stories they have, like in the debates, you know, during breaks, you're not allowed to talk to your staff. But they have the photos of Hillary running to her staff. You know, and who cares, right? You can't take that back. You know, she broke the rules, so big deal. But you know, they have all those kind of stories of what's going on. And, you know, Donald Trump, he's, you know, no one's, when it comes to the general election, he's not going to win.
Now, you sound pretty confident about that. And
I
think some folks will find that very reassuring. Others will be skeptical.
No.
What is the basis of your certainty that this is the case?
Do you remember the last election with Mr. Romney and Mr. Obama? How, you know, they said, oh, you know, even in the last week, remember Karl Rove knew he was going to win. The polls all tightened up. Obama won by a landslide.
Mm-hmm.
The media loves to make it a horse race. It's not a horse race. It's a crazy guy with unique followers he's not going to win. When it comes to the general election, he makes fun of handicapped people on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to vote for that guy? If you do vote for that guy, you have to really, you know, examine all of your moral pinnings.
Well, you know, I think one of the great ironies of this is, and the media pick it up, but they seem utterly clueless that they're spelling it out this way. Everybody likes to talk about people being fed up and people being sick of being in a situation where others have more control than they do, where if you have money, you can buy your way in. And yet, who becomes one of the champions of this movement?
Exactly.
I don't understand why that is happening.
The guy who bought his way in, and here's the guy, Bernie, talking about how it's rigged, and we see it being rigged, and people, I think, are responding to his message, but the media will not cover him. And it drives you crazy.
It
drives you crazy.
I agree. And what I think is really telling, though, is that the media today are not giving him, you know, the air, the oxygen that they're certainly giving to Mr. Trump, and yet he continues to raise these crowds, which says to me something about the media consumption behavior of a lot of Americans. They're not listening to the folks who are discounting him completely.
Yeah, no, they want the horse race. It'll go this way. He'll lose by 20 percentage points in the general election, but mark my words, they're going to say it's close. It's within the, you know, the polling, you know, data, whatever.
Yeah, the margin of error.
It won't be.
That famous margin of error. Well,
yeah,
we'll just have to see. Bob, thank you so much for your call. I appreciate it. What else is on your mind this week besides the primaries?
Well, you know, it's kind of like the giant nor'easter. I travel a lot. And, you know, they started talking about it last week, and we're not going to get any snow. And I'm heading to Central Maine shortly, and they're not going to get any snow.
Oh, I don't know about that. I thought I heard that the snow.
I know.
Was gonna...
I'm telling you, they're not. I'm just like the margin of error. Where I'm, there are going to be certain pockets, but if you looked at, you know, the weather reports, it's, you know, everybody makes headlines that are, you know, the superlative. It's the biggest storm of the century. Blah blah blah. And then when you get there, and they say like, you know, for one island off the coast of Maine. Right,
yep.
They don't put it. It just seems like we're all going to get, you know, destroyed. But
well, it does take me back to my early training, which was not necessarily in a school, in news value and how you selected from all the millions of things that were going on in the day, how you selected what was going to make it into your little 5 o'clock, 3 minute top of the hour thing.
Gatekeeper.
And, well, yeah, being a gatekeeper and having reliable gatekeepers is something I think America took for granted for quite some time. We did have some quality, thoughtful, intelligent
people. We did, didn't
people.
We? People talked about, you know, what will actually affect us as, you know, the lowly citizenry. But now, you know, it doesn't, I don't really know any of Mr. Trump's plans. I don't know any of it, you know. I know some of the Bernie stuff, people get to say it's a little too far-reaching, but we know what it is.
We know what it is. We know how he means to pay for it. Somehow that story never seems to leak out in any prominent way.
Not at all.
So,
well, thank you so much.
Well, thank you very much for coming on the show, and I hope you will call us again.
I sure will.
All righty. You are tuned to Open Mic here on WDEV, 244-1777, 1-877-291-8255. We're talking about the news of the day, and so far, the news that's been occupying our listeners has had to do with the primaries and the election, but there's a lot of other things going on in this world today. We certainly have been seeing a lot of headlines about our president in Cuba. What do you think about that turn of events? Good idea? Not so good idea? No way to tell? What do you think? We'd love to hear what you think. We also had news this morning out of Belgium that one of the chief people of interest who had remained on the lam in the wake of the Paris attacks back in November has been captured alive in Belgium and is apparently cooperating to some extent with the authorities there, telling them things. And we wonder how that's going to pan out and what we're going to learn from that fellow. Here in Vermont, we, of course, have the legislature still grinding along doing its thing. And we will be having more this week, I'm sure, from Mike Smith about that. Right now, we have Kevin up in Lindenville. Kevin, what's on your mind?
Good morning, Hester.
Good morning. Is this Kevin who I think it is?
Yes, it is.
How are you?
I am well, thank you.
What's on your mind this morning?
Well, it is tax time.
Yes, it is.
And I was a participant in the Vermont Healthcare Connect.
Uh-huh.
And I've had issues with them for the past 15
really?
Months.
Really? You're the only one.
Yeah. And another 6,000, I hear. I haven't gotten a correct invoice. I have sent my canceled checks to one of their portals.
Not the originals. I hope.
Definitely not the original.
Scare me there.
Credit union has that.
Mm-hmm.
I, for the past month, haven't had a reply from Vermont Advocate. And all I'm waiting for is a correct 1095A so I can file my taxes.
Well, you know, I think there's probably a couple of strategies you could follow. One would be to draw your own 1095A with the right information and just tell them you'll send the correct one from the government when the government gets around to sending it to you. That might be one thing to do.
The state of Vermont has sent me three of them.
And they're not quite right yet.
No, they're not.
That happened to me last year. I find it really frustrating. And I was a big supporter of this whole idea. And I am still grateful to Obamacare. It's been really a lifesaver for me. But
I
will
am.
Say, but the Vermont Health Care Exchange, I just don't, it's inexplicable to me why it doesn't work better. We live in an age where Amazon is a mature business, where eBay can and PayPal can handle little changes in your you know, financial information, like you move or you add somebody to the list of folks who can buy something with your card. Those businesses seem to be able to handle those kinds of changes. I really don't understand why Vermont couldn't hire the folks who can do that too.
Yes, I have the understanding we will be, the state will be hiring a third party to look into the issue. My personal opinion is that the issue is the people who are entering the data. I have sent all of these checks in three times now with the advocate, with the woman who is healthcare connect lady.
Yeah. Now, are you when you say the advocate, do you mean the ombudsman, the Vermont legal aid person?
Yes, it's no longer called Omnibudsman. It's something else now, and another state-funded program that I don't think is working.
Well, I'll tell you, that was the only thing that saved me was calling them, but I bet you they're swamped at this point.
Yeah, I don't even get an email or a telephone call anymore.
Oh, so you're feeling neglected, Kevin. That's a drag.
I have reached an impasse.
Oh, my gosh. Well, let's hope that they can straighten some of this out in time for folks to actually file their Vermont returns and their homestead papers if they need to do that and all that stuff on time. It would be good to keep the velocity of money moving here in Vermont. Cash coming from your pocket to the government's pocket and back out again would be a useful thing to do.
Yes, it would be.
Well, good luck with that. Keep
Thank
us
you.
Posted, will you? And I'm actually kind of curious if other folks out there are having struggles this tax season with their Vermont Health Connect experience. Give us a call here. We'd like to hear what the state of that is at this point. Give us a call at 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. This is WDEV, and you are tuned to Open Mic. My name is Hester Fuller, and I will be back with more and more of your calls, too. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic. Hester Fuller is my name, and you are listening to WDEV Radio, where every Monday morning from 9 to 11, we throw open the phone lines, and we want to hear what's on your mind. Our phone number here is 244-1777, or you can call us toll-free, 1-877-291-8255. You can listen to us on the radio, or if you want to, you can check in later. If you call in and make a particularly astute remark, you might want to come back and check us out online in the podcast. Play it for your family. Show them how smart you are. Yep, you can find the podcast at wdevradio.com and follow the signs until you find Open Mic on the web. There'll be links to the podcast there as well. You know what, John? March Madness is upon us, and I'm not sure. Are you there? You're there.
I'm here.
Hi. Are you?
I'm looking at the brackets.
Oh, good. I'm glad. I didn't fill out a bracket. John informs me it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah. He had to do it when there are a few more teams than just the 16 there left.
Well, I gather there are holes in people's brackets this morning.
From what I understand, nobody has come up with the right bracket yet. Okay. Already there's been a few people bumped out, so bracket busters abound. But,
on a competing station that I shall not name, I did hear one wag say this morning I could have done just as well if I had chosen my teams based on their team mascots and who would do better in a cage fight situation.
That's right. That's right. We have Jayhawks taking on Terps, and we have Hurricanes taking on, well, whatever Villanova is.
What is Villanova?
I don't know.
Miami Hurricanes.
You got Kansas and Maryland. That's in the South.
Mm-hmm.
Kansas has actually been picked to win the tournament by the current president. Miami, number 3, takes on number 2, Villanova. That's your South bracket.
Mm-hmm.
Out West, there are actually some Western teams out West, believe it or not. Number 1 seed, Oregon, takes on number 4 seed, Duke.
Oh, noted Western team.
Yeah. You know, North Carolina, I always think West when I think North Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always think really good basketball when I think Duke.
Number 3, Texas A&M, takes on number 2, Oklahoma. That's sort of Western. The East has number 1, North Carolina.
Now, is that University of North Carolina or NC State?
That's University of North Carolina. NC State, long gone.
Long gone? I went to a basketball game at NC State once, long ago.
Oh, yeah?
And you know what sticks in my mind? The cheerleaders. They had these cheerleaders, you know, these SAT brains, you know, these really smart brains, flying up into the rafters and coming down again and depending only on their, you know, their freshman level colleagues to catch them and prevent those SAT genius brains from
And there's no chance of them dropping
injury.
You to move up the squad,
right? That's what I'd be worried about.
North Carolina taking on Indiana, that'd be a good matchup. Those are basketball dynasties. Notre Dame continues on. They're in the East. They're number 6. They take on Wisconsin. And out in the Midwest, it's number 1, Virginia. Mm-hmm. Again, Midwest. Against number 4, Iowa State. Number 11, Gonzaga, takes on number 10, Syracuse.
Syracuse. Now, where is Gonzaga, anyway?
I'm not sure where it is either,
but I'm sure someone out there who knows better than I will call up and fill me in and chastise me for not knowing basic American geography of basketball, but I don't. Anyway, if you've been out there, if you're picking teams and you would like to school this kid who doesn't really understand how to think about this, you can give us a call at 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. We could talk about the Red Sox, but it seems a little early to go into that morning mode.
They won yesterday.
Oh, well, that's good.
Preseason. Doesn't really matter.
Well,
right?
Yeah, but, you know.
It's just everybody's getting loosened up. And,
well, that's good.
They beat the Mets 9-4. So.
Okay. Well, that'll come in handy.
We've got Red Sox baseball starting. The official games get underway April 4th. That's opening day in Cleveland. Hmm. Opening day in Boston's April 11th. But this was talked about last year as they wound up the season, and something tells me they're hopefully prepared for it at Olympic Stadium in Montreal. Exhibition game coming up on Friday, April 1st. This is not an April Fool's joke. They are playing at Olympic Stadium.
That will be fun. That will start to feel like spring.
Red Sox, Blue Jays. Now, I remember the last time these two teams played. We'll just do this here. Last time these two teams played up there, they ran out of food.
Really?
Well, I think it's like 35, 40,000 people showed up. So,
my goodness.
Yeah, it was a little hectic. So,
wow.
So,
well, people are hungry for their baseball this time of year.
That's right. Well, maybe we'll get baseball back in Montreal one of these days.
That would be exciting. That would be good. It would be closer than Boston.
So, yeah, well, that's true. Slightly, about a half an hour closer.
Oh, I saw Bill Lee this weekend, by the way.
How is the spaceman?
Spaceman's doing great. He was in the library. I was working volunteer desk at the library up in Craftsbury this Saturday morning. And Bill came in to check a couple things on the internet and just tell me how life was.
Now, so. See, there's somebody whose opinion about the new melting of the icy relationship with Cuba. I wonder how Bill feels about
that. Yeah, well, you know, I asked him if he would consider coming in some morning, and he indicated he would come in.
Spent a little time playing baseball down
there. Yeah, well, now he did, and he's out. Well, I don't know if he was in Cuba. He's certainly been in Venezuela. And right now he's out in California playing some baseball, and he'll be back in the neighborhood within 10 days or so. We'll see if we can Shanghai him in here.
It's Bill Lee's world. We're all just living in it.
He's a wonderful fellow. He does a lot of good things for the town in a kind of a quiet, secret way, which is the kind of way I like to see things done.
My brother-in-law says a couple of weeks ago, I've been looking for this Bill Lee book, you know, The Wrong Stuff. It's out of print. You don't happen to have a copy of that, do you? I said, I do, as a matter of fact. He said, well, can I borrow it for vacation? I said, bring the book back. It's signed by Bill Lee.
Yeah.
So that's where my copy
gotta
is.
Got to hang on to that.
That's right. The Wrong Stuff is.
I know. Well, I was thinking of, you know, he had so many great one-liners through the years, and this big discussion in Montpelier about whether to legalize tiny quantities of pot reminded me of something he said when they were talking about mandatory drug testing in the majors, to, you know, whether that should be implemented or not. And Bill's thoughtful response was that He had done a lot of drug testing in his time, but he really didn't think it should be mandatory.
Yes. Earth's favorite son, Billy.
That's great. He'll be back. Right now, we are on WDEV with Open Mic and waiting for your calls at 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. What is on your mind this Monday morning? Where are you going with the week? What do you have on tap? What do you have to share with us that you think other listeners might be interested in knowing about happening here? What do you think about what's going on in the world? We do have a bunch of primaries coming up tomorrow in Arizona and Utah, and that all-important American Samoa vote, and I do mean vote. And then we have the caucuses in Idaho coming up tomorrow as well. Saturday, three more caucuses coming up, Alaska, Hawaii, and Washington. All these things leading us inexorably on to Philadelphia and, oh goodness, now I've just completely blanked on where the primary for the Republicans is going to be. Do you remember?
In America.
I can't believe I did that. Well, that's my age showing. Fred from Newbury, how are you this morning?
Good. Hey, if Bernie becomes president and the Congress, both houses, goes Democrat, I want to know, you guys' opinion, how much free stuff do you think we can afford?
I don't think we can afford much at all. What do you think?
I don't think we can either.
Well, it's a good thing, then, that he has a financing plan for all this, don't you think?
Yeah, okay, so the finance, I think his financing plan is to make the fat cats pay their fair share, the corporations pay their fair share, and most everybody pay their fair share. So we don't know what the fair share is, and if the fair share gets too high, what will happen to the consumer price index?
Well, I don't know. I haven't thought all the way through there. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to imagine what you think too high might be. Zero.
Say that the taxes across the board go up 25%. If the taxes go up 25%, I think prices will go up.
I didn't see that anywhere. Did you?
I know. I'm just picking out a number.
Yeah.
No, but I mean. I think the taxes would go up, so things would start costing more.
Well, you know what? The funny thing is this. It turns out that if you give money to, or if you let people who have tons of money keep lots of their money, you know what they do with it? They put it in the bank. It just sort of sits in the bank.
Yeah, but it
if you, but wait,
in
wait,
the
wait, wait, wait. Let me finish.
In the bank. There's no such thing as idle money.
There is.
You put idle money is under your mattress.
Well. Or out of the country. I mean, you could stash it somewhere where you don't have to pay taxes on it.
It's still working.
But if you give money to someone who doesn't have that much money, they tend to spend it. And you get...
That means money's working again.
That's right. Money is working. So to me, the more money you can put in the hands of people who are going to spend it right here, the better off we're going to be. It just seems like logic.
Well, yeah, but okay. But, all right. So, okay. There's a possibility that might occur. But, I mean, if you give poor people $1,000 a year more... where are they going to spend that money?
Oh, rent, maybe, food, gas to get to work.
Yeah, rent, healthcare. Food, gas to get to work. You know, I mean, it's not a big issue. It's like necessities.
Well, it is necessities. That's right.
And how did necessities increase the economy?
They increased the economy by creating jobs for people who pump gas, jobs for people who work at grocery stores, jobs for people who, you know, are superintendents of apartment buildings.
But you only use so many necessities. That's the whole idea.
Well, the thing about a necessity is, though, you kind of have to have it.
Well, you know? I know that. Yeah. I mean, you don't buy big ticket items. You don't put money into the heavy industries. You don't buy furniture. You don't buy houses. You don't buy appliances.
Well, if you have enough money kicking around, you might. But if you already have, you know, enough appliances in all your four or five houses scattered across the world, you're not going to be buying those appliances either.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm a poor person, and I rent, and I go to the laundromat, right? So if I'm going to get $1,000. Extra. I'm not going to be buying much with $1,000.
Well, I suppose, yeah, but if you have a convenient laundromat, I can see why you wouldn't buy your own washing machine. But you might, but you'll still spend it, right?
You're right. I think you would spend it, but I don't think you'd spend it on necessity. Like, in other words, you would pay the electric bill on time, the fuel bill on time, you pay your rent on time now, maybe. You know, all in necessities, that's what you get. That's what I think.
And I think that that's a good thing, though, because that makes the money circulate around in an immediate way, you know? The fellow who you pay the rent to goes out and spends it on whatever, you know.
No, he's going to do that anyways, no matter what. If I get the extra $1,000, he'll be able to spend his money maybe quicker.
I hear you. Let's see what other folks think of that idea. Thank you so much for giving us a call this morning. Liz from Ferrisburg, you're on the air on Open Mic.
Hi, good morning. I, with a recommendation of somebody, a call-in person that called into WDEV, my husband and I went to see the movie, Michael Moore, what is it called? Who to Invade Next.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was going to be about war and, you know, what country we're going to invade. But fantastic, fantastic movie. And it, one of the segments was on the Scandinavian countries. And there was this wonderful graph that made it clear to the man that just called in ahead, like, you know, where is this tax? I've got a little boy here.
That's
he might
fine.
Cry. Here, have that. But anyway, this graph showed, yes, the taxes are high in the Scandinavian countries, and he did it in, you know, a graph, mm-hmm. and with coins, and this shows the taxes versus the taxes here, mm-hmm. and how much lower our taxes are compared to the Scandinavian countries. But then when you add in those taxes, what is paid by those taxes, and you put it onto our side, like education, health care, child care, things that are necessities to keep this country working and cared for, our tax side went way up. So that, yes, we are paying lower taxes, but we don't get anything for our taxes.
And you're saying, when you say our taxes,
Scandinavian countries. So
hang on, Liz,
it's a clear
way
of looking at it, but it seems hard for Bernie Sanders to explain it well. And I remember Peter Clavel trying to talk about health care years ago when he was running for governor. And offset, he kept using the word offset, which wasn't clear, but, you know, when you see the graph, it's very clear. We are getting nothing for our taxes. They're paying more, and they're getting a lot more.
So the balance works out in favor of letting your money go to taxes as opposed to having to buy all this stuff out of your own pocket.
So I recommend the movie. The movie is fantastic. It's uplifting. It's not a typical Michael Moore movie where you come away, brother, we're doing... It's a wonderful movie, and it goes to many different countries and how they are doing certain things, feeding children in the lunchroom, Iceland women running the country, which I think is a great idea.
Well, listen, Liz...
And why their banks... Their one bank didn't fail because it was a woman-run bank. The two male-run banks failed.
Nobody.
So anyway, it's worth seeing. And
okay, and
the movie
again is Michael Moore's Who to Invade Next, and we have a strong recommendation from Liz for folks to go and
bye-bye.
See that. Thank you very much for calling. We are Open Mic, and we are WDEV, and we have some business to do. So we'll be back on the other side of these messages. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic. My name is Hester Fuller and I am with you every Monday morning from 9 until 11 here on WDEV, where we welcome your calls, your input. We want to know what you want to talk about. The numbers here are 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. We are going to stop for news in just a couple minutes, but if you have something you have on your mind that you want to share with us, give us a call. We'll put you on hold and we'll come right back to you at the end of our news break. Actually, you know what? You might want to wait a bit, because then we're going to zip down to talk to our friend Victoria Jones down in Washington, D.C. She'll be on right after the news break at the top of the hour. I want to close out a little geographic business here. My trusty sidekick this morning, John Joyful Noyes, has done a little research for me and helped me understand that Gonzaga is actually in Spokane, Washington, which makes perfect sense because they're playing Syracuse from Syracuse, New York, in the Midwest division of the... Of the final, of the Sweet 16, anyway, the March Madness NCAA basketball championship tournament.
Don't let this be based on any location or anything.
Well, you know, it's like that old thing about Boston. You know, if you go into Boston, I'm going to screw this all up. So maybe, you know what, I'll go look it up. And I hate to ruin a joke, you know, by telling it poorly, so I'll be back.
If you go to Boston, be on a horse, right? Because they're all horse paths.
Yeah, there's that. I want to remind folks that you're listening to WDEV, the Nifty 550, the original flagship station in Waterbury, Vermont, 550 AM on the FM dial, 96.1 in Warren, Vermont, broadcasting out of Barry, Vermont at 96.5 and serving the kingdom at 101.9 in Island Pond. We also stream worldwide on WDEVradio.com, where you can also find the Open Mic podcast, and we encourage you to do that. Subscribe, listen, think of all the things you wish you could have said, and then call me up and say them. It's about 5.5 minutes past 10 o'clock, and you are listening to WDEV Radio. And as we do every weekday morning at this time, we're heading down to talk with our friends at Talk Media News. John Christopher Bua is on the line. Good morning, John.
It's a pleasure to be on with you, first time.
Now, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Washington, D.C.
Okay.
I'm a White House correspondent and U.S. political analyst with Talk Media News.
Excellent. Well, we're very glad to have you with us this morning. What are folks talking about down there this morning?
Well, folks are focused on Havana. The president's visit, historic visit, first time in, I believe, 88 years. He flew in yesterday in the rain, and the last time an American president, while president, came there was in a battleship, and it was Calvin Coolidge years and years ago.
So what are the hopes for this trip?
Well, the president hopes to open up some issues and relieve some of the pressures that were on this government in terms of dealing with the Cuban government, which is still a communist government, and its ability to relieve some of the restrictions on trade. Relieve the embargo, open up some travel, maybe some airlines and the Western Union, some internet, and be able to normalize in a certain way relations between the Castro regime and the president, and who was Fidel Castro, you know, is not meeting with the president, although we may be surprised, but I wouldn't hold my breath, but his brother Raul is. And the question is, how has it changed, and how have things changed through 11 presidents that Fidel and his brother Raul have survived way back in the Eisenhower administration, all the way through Obama. And Obama would like to make this part of his legacy. He has a few months left, and he'd like to go out knowing that he's changed something in this Western Hemisphere with a country just 90 miles away from ours.
Now, there are folks who are obviously pushing back against this idea, saying the United States is not getting enough back for the business of opening these doors. It's not like the old policy was working all that well, however.
No, it's not like the old policy, and there are many, many things to be worked out. It's clear that the president is trying to accomplish and cement certain progress in terms of these relationships, and the fact is that he needs Congress for a lot of them. So he's going to try to get some of these through executive order while he's still in the White House, and hopefully that both the Cuban people and the American people and those who are very anti-Cuban regime will say, wait a minute, this might work, and then the new president will be stuck with them, in fact.
Well, we know that we just heard this morning, actually, on the newscast just before you came up, is that I guess Airbnb has won a victory and is going to be allowed to book some of its clients into private homes in Cuba, starting pretty much.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole point. The point is to trade. If you trade with people, if you travel and visit them and meet them, that's this president's philosophy, then there is more openness. And this president believes and has believed in Burma and other countries in the Far East as well, that the more you see Americans, the more you hear about Americans, the more we trade, we have relationships with them in terms of economy and education, then there's less hating and there's more openness.
That sounds like a good strategy that could actually come to something. Who knows? John Christopher Bua, who is our new correspondent, new friend here on the air at Talk Media News. John, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well,
you?
My background is, in all true transparency, I came down here with Clinton. I was a member of his administration. I head up three cabinet positions in communications, mm-hmm. three federal agencies. I taught at Georgetown as in the School of Foreign Service for the last six semesters, a course called Policy and the Media, an American-European perspective at the School of Foreign Service at Georgetown, and certainly there's never anything to talk about. And I'll be teaching a similar course at Catholic University in the fall. And I blog at Huffington Post UK. I'm a correspondent for Talk Media News, work with News to Share, and I'm also a contributor to Euronews, which is a very large international news organization.
I am familiar with Euronews. Now, now that I've got you on the line, and I know you are a teacher, do you teach primarily policy wonk types, or do you teach journalism students?
Well, it's fascinating. For the last 6 years, the policy and the media course was at the School of Foreign Service, and they were students who wanted to be in the Foreign Service, who were, many were international students who were very interested in politics, and it just happens to be that I brought the media concept into this, and they were their Foreign Service students. They're with the Master Foreign Service program. They're with the German European Studies program. I've had students. I've had 13, 14 languages going off in my class at one time, which is always exciting. There was a graduate course, and these are professional. Now they are professional young people who are out there in the real world, working for Radio Free Europe, Voice of America, the State Department, Congress people, and senators, and they've taken, hopefully, the skills that I've given them, because I think the teaching is the most exciting thing that I do, and I think that in order to feel, I don't know, responsible or really good about your life, you need to pass that forward.
I couldn't agree with you more. John Christopher Bua, who is a new correspondent with Talk Media News, I hope you'll be joining us every Monday. I think that
Thank
would be lovely
so
to hear
much.
From you.
Pleasure.
Thanks a lot for being with us this morning.
You bet.
Everybody else, we are tuned to WDEV News Radio in Waterbury, Vermont, and we are open mic, as we do every Monday. Open mic is on the air from 9 until 11 o'clock. Hester Fuller is my name. It's also on the air Tuesday through Friday as well with my colleague Mike Smith in this chair. We're on the air this morning until 11 when Bill Sayers will join us with Common Sense Radio, as he does every weekday morning at 11 o'clock, brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute. This morning, the topic is whatever you want it to be. Give us a call at 244-1777 or toll-free 877-291-8255. My buddy John has left the building. My buddy Artie is now in there. Hi, Artie. How are you doing today? We're going to have some more phone calls
I'm
from
good.
Listeners. I'm glad to hear that. How was your weekend?
Good.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, watched a lot of Bracket Busters.
You should have been here
still
earlier.
Still in the game, but not that well.
Do you have giant holes in your bracket like a lot of people do?
Huge, yes.
Really?
Still have hope with Oregon.
Like a whole division who isn't actually going to make it to the Final Four.
No way.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my goodness.
But I'm okay.
I'm glad to hear it. You certainly look okay.
Thank you.
I've been enjoying your program in the afternoons. Let's plug that while we're here
okay,
as well.
Okay, let's do that. The Getaway, 2 till 4, coming your way today. And
Artie has exquisite taste in music. It's great driving music. It's great sit around and think music. It's also great get out in the barn and do those chores you should have done this morning music.
And a lot of it is made right here in Vermont.
That's right. Absolutely. It's terrific. So Artie Levine behind the control board there. Hester Fuller is my name, and I will be with you until 11 o'clock this morning. Love to hear from you today, 244-1777, or call us toll-free at 1-877-291-8255. In our first hour, conversation ran the gamut, all kinds of stuff about the coming election, various policy proposals that we've seen coming out in front of us. We had a call about Vermont Health Connect and the difficulties that our caller was experiencing getting the right paperwork from the state. He's all set to file his state tax return, but he can't get the right health exchange piece of paper, form 1095A, I think it is, in from Montpelier so that he can send it all off. He'd be happy to send his taxes in, even a few days early, but they've got to send him the right paperwork. Has that been your experience as well? Let us know. How are you doing coming down to tax deadline, by the way? It's only a couple of weeks away, isn't it? I better get cracking on my own, I think. Give us a call, 244-1777, or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. One thing we always like to put out there on Monday mornings when it's open mic is to encourage you to call in with ideas for future programs. We love to know what you would like to know more about. Had a wonderful call last week from a fellow who works with the Veterans Administration medical folks down in White River Junction. I believe it's a kind of a patient committee or a kind of a mediator, a go-between the clients and customers of the VA services down there and the hospital administration. And that triggered a round of research on my part. We're going to try to pull together a program on how the Veterans Administration delivers health care to its female veterans. And that's a growing concern in Vermont and elsewhere as the ranks of women veterans increase. And we're working on that program. And that's an idea that came straight out of a listener call. And we'd love to hear your thoughts as well. Right now, let's zip up to, down to South Royalton. Harry's on the line.
Yes.
What's on your mind?
Just a comment about Bernie. Mm-hmm. For one thing, you know, if anybody has watched Hitler's speeches from the 30s, Bernie is an exact duplicate. He replaced some words with banks and whatnot.
Hillary's speeches from the 30s? I'm not following you.
Hitler's.
Oh, Hitler's speeches from the 30s. Really?
And they want to make a coordination between Trump and whatnot. Well, you know, a good quote's a good quote. And, you know, Bernie has done no favors for this state. He told a bogus statement long enough so that he believed it, which was, we cannot refuse these students the right to vote. We never did. They had the right to vote where they were from. Now we have a bunch of people that are transients here for 1, 2, 3, 4 years voting on our local politics, and that has thrown the whole fact of community off.
Now, do you think the numbers are huge enough to really have that sort of an impact?
Well, I know when you have 500 voters showing up at the polls and 280 of them are students in that town, yes, I do believe it.
Well, I could see why. And you're from South Royalton, so I'm trying to think about the schools. The Vermont Law School's down that way, and there's a few others like that.
Yes.
Yeah, and so you're right in a community where that group would be a significant demographic. I wonder how that plays. Imagine Burlington would have something like that
as well.
That's
the way Bernie got elected up there.
Well,
he failed several times until he got the right for students to vote.
Well,
and then he got elected.
He did get elected.
You know,
several times.
So much of his speeches come straight from Mayo. Give me your children. Mayo said, "Tongue." Give me your children. Free education, what's that mean?
Well, what does it mean to you?
Somebody's got to pay for it, I do believe.
Right. Well, what do you
think? You're going to get professors donating their time.
You got that right. Let me ask you something, though, about the idea of free education. This is something I ask a lot of my callers, because that seems to be kind of a hot button for some folks.
I'm losing you.
You're losing us? Okay, well, maybe you can give us a call back. You can give us a call back sometime when you have a better connection. This is WDEV Radio, and you are listening to Open Mic here on WDEV 244-1777-1-877-291-8255 is our phone number. What are the things that you'd like to talk about this morning? What are the concerns and issues that are on your mind? What do you think we should be paying some attention to that we haven't talked about yet this morning? How about future programs? We get some really good ideas from our callers, and I'd love to have some more. We're working on quite a list for the week's upcoming, and we'd like to hear from you about the kinds of things you'd like to know more about. We've got some stuff planned on the arts in the schools coming up in a couple of weeks. We have a really good program on the controversy over head injuries. That's coming up. That's been in the works for some time now, and that'll be coming up in just a couple weeks. And other things as well. I don't want to give the whole store away, but we're always open to your ideas. Bob from East Montpelier, what's on your mind this morning?
Hi. I just wanted to mention, there was an article that Bernie wrote back in the early 70s, something about degrading of women. I can't remember.
Yeah, there was a controversy about that. Yeah, that came out earlier in the campaign. I think, I don't remember how old he was.
Yeah, but nobody's touched on it. It's just amazing. It seems like if you're a Republican, if you did something like that, they'd be all over it.
Well,
I haven't heard anybody in any of these debates or anything mention anything about it.
Well, maybe they're
Do they even know about it?
Well,
I mean,
it's out there,
like,
isn't it?
Maybe the media is sweeping it under the rug. I don't know.
Well, that would be an interesting twist on the usual media story about Bernie, wouldn't it? Which is that they sweep Bernie under the rug, and maybe this is all a piece of that. I don't know.
I don't know. I just.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
I'm tired of the bias in the media. You know.
Yeah. Which way do you see it playing?
Well, it's definitely towards the left. I mean, everybody wants free stuff, and everybody wants to be politically correct. Mm-hmm. And
but do you think,
I don't know.
You don't think Mr. Trump has managed to get a fair amount of oxygen for a different point of view?
I don't know. He's gotten plenty of media coverage, but some of it seems to be negative. You know, yeah. All these bad things happening at his rallies and stuff. But yeah. I think that's, I don't know.
Well, yeah, there's.
I don't really think it's his fault. I think it's the people that are going there's fault.
Yeah.
A lot of those people are probably Bernie supporters, you know?
I don't know. I don't know too many Bernie supporters that have been to Trump rallies, but maybe that's just because I don't get out enough.
Well, they're going there because they're not in favor of Trump.
Well.
You know, they oppose Trump. Because he represents the 1%, as Bernie would say.
Well, you know, that we were just talking about that a few minutes ago. Doesn't that strike you as kind of odd that a lot of the people that are upset with the way things are now actually are going for the guy who probably is like the biggest representative of the 1% you could even think of?
Well, I don't think Bernie's not just going after the 1%, though. Bernie wants to raise taxes on everybody. I don't know if you heard that or not. But
well,
he wants to raise taxes on the middle class, which is that's me, and I'm not in favor of it.
What if you got a lot of stuff back for that investment?
What, giving away free stuff?
It's not free stuff.
That means I got to pay more in taxes.
But then you don't have to pay.
That doesn't sound good to me.
Well, I can hear. I hear you, and I would agree with you if it wasn't that you weren't getting anything back for that. But what if you were getting back stuff you would otherwise be paying for out of your own pocket?
Well, I'm not sure I understand your question,
okay.
But I don't know. I just don't think.
Yeah, no, I hear you, and I think you're not alone in your opinion. There's certainly a lot of folks who feel the way you do, and I really appreciate your calling us and letting us know what you think. That's what this program is for, folks. We want your input. We'd like to hear what you think about the events that are going on in the world around us. Give us a call at 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. What's on your mind this morning as we wend our way through the middle of the presidential primary season? We've got more of them coming up tomorrow. We have races in Arizona and Utah, caucuses in Idaho tomorrow. The all-important American Samoan vote will be cast tomorrow. And on Saturday, we've got more caucuses lined up in Alaska, Hawaii, Washington. What do you think is going to happen? Are we moving into friendlier Bernie territory as the weeks go on? Is that going to make a difference, or is the momentum that Hillary's built up so far, kind of that's the story? How about on the Republican side? How do you think that's going to sugar out at the end of the day? Those conventions aren't that far away, and we do have a few races between now and then. It'll be interesting to see what happens, and I'd sure love to know what you think is going to be going on. We need to take a little bit of a break right now, though, and you are tuned to WDEV, to the Open Mic program. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'll be right back after these words. Good morning and welcome back. This is Open Mic. Hester Fuller is my name. You're listening to WDEV News Radio, and we are welcoming your phone calls this morning, your thoughts about the news of the day and the things that you care about and that you think need some attention and consideration. Give us a call at 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. Steve from Essex, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hi, Steve. What's on your mind this morning?
Yes, ma'am. I don't need the government to spend my money. I know exactly how to spend my money.
I hear
you. And if you could give a government a dollar, you're lucky if you get a penny back in your lifetime. So, thank you.
Okay, well,
I'd rather spend it myself.
Well, I appreciate your call. Thank you very much. And I think there's a lot of folks, a lot of Vermonters who feel that way as well. If you've earned your money and you have your money in hand, you know what you want to spend it on, and maybe you don't really want the government spending it for you. There are things, though, of course, that none of us can do on our own, things like military and education for our school children, and some would say health care, that aren't well handled if we just leave it up to a free market. And I'd be interested in knowing, those of you who really do feel like you want the government out of your pocketbook, how that can be accomplished if we don't pony up and do that kind of thing. Give us a call here at WDEV 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. 8255. You know, one thing we haven't talked about at all today, and it's been in the news, at least it was towards the end of last week, Vermont is going to be hosting its first hearing on, it's not going to be hosting, it's really becoming a leader in the GMO labeling, food labeling controversy, or not controversy, that we want to know what's in our food, and we're going to have some rules that that let us do that. And we haven't really talked too much about that. I'd love to know what you think about the GMO food labeling bill and plan. Give us a call at 244-1777. 877-291-8255 is the toll-free number. This is Open Mic. We're looking at what's happening in the world, and we're looking at what you think about those events. We've had a lot of calls this morning about the elections. A lot of folks who can't quite believe what we've been seeing. A wonderful caller from Barry earlier this morning who said in all her 80 years she's never seen anything like this current election season, and the primaries are going to continue. We also have a president who's walking around in Cuba this morning. He's visiting with the president, Raul Castro, and this is certainly a breakthrough in relations between our two nations. Love to know what you think about that. Good idea? Not so good? What do you think? Larry from Barrie, you're on the air on Open Mic.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I think it's time we talked about a subject that I think is quite important here in Vermont, and that's the legalization of marijuana.
Okay, we have some hearings coming up, don't we, in just about a week and a half.
Right, and I'm very much against it.
Tell us why you feel that way.
Well, I'm against it because I think, number one, that we have enough addicts already in Vermont. We don't need any more. And number two, I think that young children that are 12, 13 years old have the opportunity to get a hold of it and use it, and I don't think that's good.
Do they have that opportunity now?
Not as readily as it will be when their parents are buying it and have it right in the house.
And have it in the house, and that would be a concern. There are arguments that are made, obviously, on both sides of it. One of the arguments, and I'm just curious about what you think about this argument, one of the arguments is that if you do legalize small amounts, you're in a position then to regulate those small amounts. Whereas if what do you think about
hooey.
You think it's a lot of hooey. What do you think about that?
That's just an excuse. Mm-hmm. And those people who want to use it, that's just an excuse for them to bring it up and get it legalized.
So you don't think regulation would be effective?
No. No, I think it's better the way it is now. First of all, it's illegal to have it anyway, but the federal law says you're not supposed to have it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe it's a good thing to legalize it in Vermont. I think we've got problems enough already. We don't need any more. Some of the legislators think they're going to make a whole lot of money by legalizing it, and that's a lot of hogwash.
You think that's not likely either?
No.
Yeah.
No, I think we're better off leaving alone. It's going to end up costing us more than what we're going to be taking in. It's the small children I'm concerned about.
I hear you.
We don't need any more problems than we already have.
Yeah, you know what, Larry? One of the things that I haven't heard resolved to my satisfaction is, you know, if it's legalized, how are we going to test for this? We have the breathalyzer test for folks who have a little too much alcohol in them when they're out on the roadways. How are we going to test for a little too much smoke in the lungs?
I don't know. Just observation, I guess.
Yeah, observation.
I don't know of any other tests for it.
Well, if anyone out there knows about how we can test for that, and so that the rest of us are safe on the roadways should this bill go through, I'd sure like to hear from you.
I recommend that everybody call the legislator that's against it, because they need to know the theory of what the taxpayers, how they feel.
Call, or you can go down to the hearing yourself. It'll be a week from Thursday night from 5 to 7 down in the House chamber in Montpelier. That'll
right.
be the Judiciary and the Government Operations Committee holding a joint right. hearing on the Senate bill.
Call especially because it's hard to get in to testify. So mm-hmm. call and come here, and you'll be able to talk as long as you want if you call them directly.
Thank you very much, Larry from Barrie. We appreciate that and appreciate the reminder and appreciate the advice. Peter from Waitsfield, you're on the air.
Hi. Regarding marijuana legalization, those people who are opposed to it, particularly because of access of marijuana to children, they should do some research on Holland, which hasn't even effectively legalized it. They've more or less tolerated it. And Holland has the lowest amount of marijuana use among all of European youth and the lowest heroin use rates among all of Europe. And they should also do some homework on what Portugal has done. Portugal legalized possession of all drugs depending on quantity, and it's been an overall widespread success.
Success in what sense?
Sorry?
Success in what sense?
in overall decrease in drug use.
Okay.
And there's plenty of studies out there on the web for people to go do research on. It's been implemented for over 10 years now, and it's been an unquestionable success. Our current policy of the war on drugs is extremely expensive and counterproductive, and it's led to a strange set of circumstances where baby boomers who used to smoke marijuana back in the 70s have lost connection with any source, and they're torn with the dilemma of asking their high school age children if they could score pot for them.
It's easier
for children to access marijuana or heroin, for that matter, than it is for them to get alcohol or tobacco. And with stiff sentences for providing to a minor, that's an effective use of the threat of the criminal sanction.
Mm-hmm.
But the threat of the criminal sanction is useless against a very lucrative trade,
mm-hmm.
which is only lucrative because we've made it that way. I would say if you support the current policies, whether it be with marijuana or the war on drugs in general, that you're soft on crime.
Peter, let me ask you a question, because you do sound like someone who's done an awful lot of thinking and looking into this question. You mentioned a bunch of studies that have come out about Holland and also about Portugal, where the policies toward these substances are more forgiving, let's say, than the United States. Certainly, it's tolerated in Holland.
Let's say less militaristic.
Less militaristic. That's a perfectly good way to put it, too. And you say they in those societies, we also see lower rates of, well, let's just call them drug problems, or things we would identify as problems. What, in the context of those more tolerant attitudes, do you think accounts for the fact that they're showing lower rates of addiction? I mean, it's got to be more than just simply their policy.
Well, that's a really good question, and the answer to it is regarding the gateway theory, which has been claimed about marijuana and largely disproven, thanks in part to the reality of Holland. If there's a gateway, first of all, it's kind of asinine to say that a drug could have among its side effects to create a desire in the user of that drug to try a completely different drug.
Now, why do you say that? Because a lot of people...
Well, no, that's what the gateway theory says.
That's
about
right.
Marijuana, which is a bogus theory. It's been disproven. It's been disproven by the data coming out of Holland as well. Now, if there's a gateway effect, it's with the prohibition of marijuana. And what I've been studying the drug issue in this country for a long time. Back in the early, mid-90s, there was an outbreak of epidemic of, quote-unquote, of black tar heroin use among high school students in Texas. And some of the students that became addicted were valedictorian students. Mm-hmm. The idea that all drug users are stupid losers should be reviewed, because... drug abuse affects everybody from all walks of life.
And I think that is something that here in Vermont we're coming to terms with, because I think we've certainly heard that the availability of the opiates by prescription has contributed significantly to the problems that we're seeing.
Well, there's also widespread heroin availability, and despite spending $7.6 billion to date in anti-drug efforts in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is effectively a narco state.
Mm-hmm. They've got nowhere else to make money.
Well, the areas of Afghanistan that are under Taliban control,
mm-hmm.
They kick money up the chain to the Taliban, and ironically, a capture of a Taliban shadow governor some years ago took place not as a result of a counterterrorism operation, but as the result of a drug raid.
So, Peter, let me ask you another question.
But let me just get back to that gateway thing. If there's a gateway theory, then it should be applied to prohibition, because you have a kid who experiments with marijuana after hearing all the, scare tactics that have been perpetrated for decades now about what marijuana will do to you and how dangerous it is. And likely some of these kids have experimented with alcohol, and as a result of trying marijuana, they realize what most marijuana smokers are aware, and that is marijuana is pretty benign, particularly when you compare it with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hangover. It doesn't lead to violence. People just sit around and laugh and watch movies to record albums and eat more food than they might have eaten otherwise, but it's a pretty benign substance. And so what happens is these kids, they go, well, they lied to me about the Tooth Fairy and Santa Claus and marijuana. Maybe they were also wrong about cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
That's my theory as to why relaxing our laws against marijuana would treat not just marijuana with maybe the respect it deserves, but also the intelligence of our youth.
Listen, Peter, that's a very thoughtful and well thought through position, and I really appreciate your sharing it with us. Let's see how that.
Let me just say.
We've actually got to cut away pretty quick. So
can I just say one thing? You can be against marijuana use and favor marijuana legalization for a number of very good reasons, and it's a very important subject. People need to study it.
I think that that's absolutely the truth, and maybe that's a good subject for us to take up at some point on this program with the Focus Guest.
Continue.
Okay, thank you very, very much for a very thoughtful call. You're listening to Open Mic here on WDEV. Open Mic on the air until 11 o'clock this morning, when Bill Sayre will be joining us to have his every weekday morning program, Common Sense Radio, brought to you by the folks at the Ethan Allen Institute. And we'll find out what his program is going to be about in just a little bit. Right now, though, we're listening to you, and we want to hear your thoughts about what's going on in the world today. 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255 is our toll-free number. We've got hearings coming up in 10 days in the State House about legalizing marijuana. We have a president who's walking around Cuba right now. We have folks who are waiting for their Vermont Health Connect statements so they can send in their Vermont tax returns. And the statements keep coming back not correct. And it's frustrating some folks. We have primaries coming up. All kinds of things going on in this world. Jerry from Callis, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's on your mind?
A while back you were discussing Bernie Sanders, you know, running mm-hmm. for candidate to the United States of America.
Yes.
President.
Yeah.
And you know what? This is the way I feel about Bernie. The truth is, he is, first of all, he's running against the Democratic Party. I mean, not against it, running under it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's not a Democrat. He's a social Democrat.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think he'd agree with you.
And, you know, I've been doing a lot of studying on what he would do if he got to be president, and I don't think it would be a very good idea. First of all, he wants to tax the rich. Well, like the guy said, he's middle class and he get taxed too, and that's very true with all of us. And he's not the man for it, and I'll tell you the reason why. If he ever got to be president, and he would do his job as a socialist. And you know what socialism is? Most people know that, you know, it's a collective sort of way of running government, and everybody would pay into it, and everybody wouldn't get the results by that. They would, some would, but others won't. And he's gone to all of these universities and talked to these young people about free tuition and blah, 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 and who do you think is going to pay for that? Everybody's going to pay for that. Everybody's going to pay for his universal health care.
Well, Jerry, let me ask you something. Who's going to benefit from that if we have an educated workforce, if we have folks who come out with stronger skills to compete in a global economy? Who's going to benefit from that?
Nobody.
Why not?
Because the way they will be taught in these universities won't be for the good of the nation.
Well, why do we assume that that's true?
Because of his socialistic ideals.
Well, let me ask you something, too. Do you like Social Security?
Not really.
Do you like the highway system?
Well, highway system, yeah.
Yeah, well, there you go. Where would we be if we hadn't all pitched in there? How many roads do you think we'd have running here and there?
But what I'm trying to tell people is be aware and understand if he gets in as president, we're all in big trouble because, you know, it won't be like it is now.
No, it won't. And that's why they have elections, though, isn't it? So everybody gets a chance to say.
Socialism is equal distribution of economic goods and achieved by revolutionary or dictatorial means, which federal and state governments would all be in the same boat if he gets in there. And, you know, we would be taxed to death. It would never work.
Well, we should, you know, let's look into that some more, and I appreciate the call. Thank you very much for your thoughtful comments on the current state of the political races, and we encourage all our listeners to give us a call. You don't have to be an expert to be on the air here. You do have to be thoughtful, and Jerry is certainly thoughtful about these things. All our callers have had well-thought-through positions and that they feel very strongly about, and we're happy to have them here. We're happy to know about them, and we're happy to follow through on some of the subjects that come up and see if we can't pull some shows together, some segments of programs together that address some of the deeper questions that we've surfaced in these conversations. Thank you so much for calling us. And if you have a thought about what's going on in the world today and you'd like to weigh in and you have a suggestion perhaps for a future program here on Open Mic, give me a call right now, 244-1777, or call us toll free, 877-291-8255. We'd love to hear from you. It's about 10:45, and we need to pause for a little bit of business. So stay tuned. You are listening to Open Mic. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic here on WDEV. It's our public affairs show where you, the public, are the stars. We like to know what you're thinking about, and we welcome your phone calls at 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. My name is Hester Fuller. I'm here every Monday morning from 9 until 11. The rest of the week, the seat is ably commanded by Mike Smith, my colleague, and he also will be looking for your comments and your thoughts and your input as the week goes onward. We'll be on the air until 11 this morning, at which time Bill Sayers is in with Common Sense Radio, talking about the tax package and school choice this morning, brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute. So stay tuned for that and think about weighing in there, too. So what's on your mind this morning on this Monday morning? How was your weekend? What kind of things are you thinking about? And what kind of things do you think we ought to be paying a little more attention to here at WDEV News Radio? And specifically on the Open Mic program, if there is a subject you'd like to see us explore, an expert you'd like us to invite in, let us know, and we will do what we can to shape up some nice, interesting, thoughtful programming coming up, and always with a space for you to comment and give us your thoughts about current events. Give us a call this morning at 244-1777 or toll-free at 1-877-291-8255. That'll put you in touch with Open Mic, and we look forward to hearing what you think about the news of the day. Spring is here. Well, I guess we all of us here in Vermont understand that there's a big difference between the first day of spring and the first spring day. That's an old chestnut around here. But spring did arrive over the weekend. Never guess it from how frozen my front yard is. But I have seen snowdrops out at my neighbor's house. I've seen crocuses out. I hear rumors that there was a robin winging around Craftsbury over the weekend. I didn't see that bird personally, but I have it on reliable authority that there was such a creature seen on the wing. And maybe we all have reason to be hopeful going forward. We have baseball coming to us pretty quickly. We have basketball. We're in the throes of March Madness now. The Sweet 16 kickoff later on this week. And I'd love to hear what you think of the chances of this team or that team. If that's something that you care about, give us a call, 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. Vermont Radio lost someone very dear to us this past weekend, a longtime Vermont journalist. Mal Bowright passed away last Friday. I had a wonderful experience with Mal, of course, just 30 years ago now. We worked together on a program about the Boston Red Sox, Sox memories, where we would go down to the spring training headquarters, the old Winter Haven Holiday Inn, and we'd go there with the Boston Red Sox Sox Exchange Fantasy Camp, and we would have a chance to meet up with lots of former players for the Red Sox and get them going, telling stories about their time on the team, and it was just always a wonderful experience. Then I'd bring the tapes back, produce them. Mal would be the voice, the narrator, and I would do the engineering, and it was just a great experience. We did that for years together, and I certainly do miss those days. It was a lot of fun, and he's a wonderful professional. He taught me an awful lot about sports reporting as well. Mal Bowright lost to us on Friday, and our condolences to Annie and the family on that loss. You are listening to WDEV News Radio. 244-1777 is our number, or toll free 1-877-291-8255. It's about, oh goodness, a little less than 10 minutes before 11 o'clock, and we have time for a couple more phone calls. We'd sure love to hear from you. What's on your mind this morning? Don't really know? Well, what do you think we should be paying attention to this week? We've been talking a bit about the campaigns. We've been talking a bit about the statutes and the hearings coming up on the proposal to legalize small amounts of marijuana in the state of Vermont. We've been talking a bit about the Vermont Health Connect Insurance Exchange and the difficulties people are experiencing these days as they're getting their tax returns ready. It's a bit of a problem. You can't file that return without that statement, and statements aren't coming in with the right numbers on them. So a lot of folks are frustrated about that as well. Bob from Montpelier, you're on the air on Open Mic.
Hi. I just wanted to kind of add something here on the discussion about Bernie and socialism.
Good.
I do have some pretty strong concerns about a lot of the sweeping investments he's talking about. But I'd have people remember that the GI Bill, mm-hmm, is considered by many, and I think there have been several studies that have shown it was one of the best investments ever, and was returns times 3 and 4, and often benefited many of us who were and are considered ourselves Republicans and conservatives. But it was a great program. It benefited tremendous number of people and moved a lot of folks into the middle class and the educated professions. So just thought I'd add that.
Well, I think that's really an important thing to add, Bob. I think it's important to consider that when we put money into these programs, it's not just the individual who benefits. I think you pointed out the returns are 3 or 4 times the investment, but the families benefited too. When the wage earner had a higher level of education, could realize greater earnings, the returns on something like investing in education really kind of more than trickle down. They multiply. They kind of snowball.
Well, they do, and you have to be strategic. You've got to really think through, and often there's been discussions of, rather than just military service, it could be other kinds of service that would provide the quid pro quo here for a GI Bill type thing, mm-hmm, for young people and even others that need retraining and reeducation. We can do these things if we strategically think them through and really, really look at the benefits and document it, not just knee-jerk.
Right.
One thing or the other. That's the benefit of being independent in the state.
Yeah. Now, Bob, you mentioned the idea of having other kinds of service qualify people to serve, to reap the benefits of something like a GI Bill. Given your experience with the GI Bill, are there other things that you think we should look at getting into place to make this a program that is at least as effective as that one was?
I think there are a lot of things in place now, some of which are questionable, but some which have the structure, AmeriCorps, I think, and, mm-hmm, some of others. But I think it's got to be something that everybody puts the spotlight on. It needs a lot of sunshine for things like this, mm-hmm, to work. And, you know, Bernie's sometimes way over the top, but the needs are there. He's identified the needs, and I think it's certainly doable. We've done it in this country. You mentioned Social Security or Medicare. These aren't programs that are cheap, but we actually know that they can work if they're strategically done and well thought through and then evaluated and improved, not just sit back and fund and then refund.
Thank you for that very thoughtful call. And that, Bob from Montpelier, I hope you'll give us another call. We have another person on the line, Mike from Duxbury. You're on the air on Open Mic.
Yeah, good morning, Esther. I just have a comment on the legalization of cannabis.
Uh-huh.
And it's not a concern to me, either pro or con. That's not the point. The point is that who tells you what you can put in your own body? Do you own your body? So the state is telling you whether you can put anything in it that you want or not. And also that relates to GMO labeling. Apparently, Monsanto doesn't want you to know what you're putting in your body.
That would be your first clue, wouldn't it?
Exactly. And, of course, with the labeling of GMO, and if they're so proud of their achievements, why would they not want it labeled? Look at us. Now it's labeled. And so you'll know that it's something that we did and we produced this.
I was going to ask you one other.
Go ahead.
When it comes to the legalizing cannabis, you make an interesting argument about the government staying out of what you can put in your own body. But what do you think about the argument that having this will make these substances more available, more readily available to young folks whose neurological systems may not have developed to the point where it's a good idea for them to be partaking?
Well, I think that a young generation, there's a lot of experimentation going on, and it's not just with your driver's license and possibly going fast. It's probably not with the opposite sex. I'm sure it's would be also with marijuana or any drugs, and I think it has more to do with the parents training their children to be well aware of the consequences of what may or may not happen.
Mm-hmm. It always comes down to that, too, doesn't it? That there's a lot of personal responsibility that has to come to the fore.
Well, what's reflected here is the state basically wants to claim you as theirs, and of course you are, because you don't own anything, so you actually do belong to the state. You don't own your property, and property involves a lot of things, which mm-hmm. is also your currency.
Yeah, and that may be a longer conversation than we can do this morning.
Right, but it boils down to they're telling you what you can and can't put in yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
It's ridiculous. And I agree with the recent caller that a lot of study has been done throughout Europe, like with Portugal and Holland and a lot of these other countries, and they said, listen, you own yourself. If you want to destroy yourself, that is entirely up to you. And, of course, people said, well, of course I don't.
Yeah,
so
Mike, we're gonna have to leave it right there, I'm afraid, because we're coming up on the end of the hour, and we have a little more business that we need to do. And I want to thank you for your very thoughtful call, and we will return to this topic, I'm sure, in coming weeks, because we do have the program, the hearings coming up in just about 10 days, I do believe. And right now, you are tuned to WDEV News Radio 550 in Waterbury, Vermont, on the AM dial, broadcasting out of Barrie at 96.5 and out of Warren, Vermont at 96.1. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you back here next Monday as well.